Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm happy. I am freaking happy. Okay, FSTA draft has come and gone. We take a look at it. Hope you were able to listen to my preview last night from 7 to 8 along with Craig Mish. Craig is just, he is just incredible. It's incredible to hear Craig Mish do a show. Okay, anyway, some great stuff here. Great job by most of these guys. And as I pointed out yesterday, you know, the landscape of fantasy sports has absolutely changed with the advent. Of course, we've always had fantasy football. We've always had fantasy basketball. Now we got, in addition, a whole different calendar of fantasy of DFS football and DFS basketball. So the experts in the industry now, I mean, it's just crazy to keep up with everything. And then, you know, you want to talk about NASCAR, you want to talk about, it's just nuts to think that these guys who competed last night, except for those who stay strictly to baseball like Ron Chandler does, I'll tell you something, it's an effort. And you know something? I take a look at the draft, and a lot of them are not ready yet. Yeah, a lot of them are not ready yet, including RT Sports, who left out the last seven rounds. So I'm sitting around saying, oh, how come Avisail Garcia's not in here? How come, how come Aaron Aldair is not in? Crazy. How come Jonathan Neese is not in? Well, I realized they didn't finish the last seven rounds. Anyway, happy birthday to Mitchell Harston, the guy who put together our fantasy football league and is putting together our fantasy baseball league. If you want to be in the fantasy baseball league that Mitchell is putting in, send me an email. Here's the first announcement. This is not the live draft. This is just the online draft. If you want to be in it, send me an email. We're going to take 12 to 15. First 12 to 15, we'll get it, and we'll see. Maybe we'll do an NL, AL draft, something like that. But right now, Mitchell's putting together on ESPN an auction, okay? We're going to do an auction, so we'll see if we can get that done. Send me the email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. And yes, Buck, you're right. I talked about that yesterday. I'll talk about that right now, okay? Send me the email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. Okay, just a couple of things. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. All right, look, Jonas Cespedes, let's get this out of the way. Cespedes did not have a draft pick attached to him. Justin Upton did have a draft pick attached to him. Detroit made a choice. They went after Upton. Boston, who could, yeah, he could, they could, there were the teams that Upton played for, including, nobody's interested. This guy has got to be one of the biggest messed up guys ever. Okay, all right, yeah. Absolutely, one of the best guys. Just refresh, you'll get a better sound. Anyway, so that's the thing. So Cespedes makes you wonder. The Nationals are in. Boy, if the Nationals sign Cespedes, that means that the Nationals will have taken Cespedes and Daniel Murphy, the two big guys for the Mets down the stretch. Wouldn't be surprised if the Marlins tuned in. Cuban kid going to Florida, not so bad. And the White Sox, because they need him. And if they, you know, if they make a commitment to Todd Frazier, you would think they would do something else as well. By the way, did you hear that Adam Wainwright called in last night to Derek Ranriper and to Kyle Elfrick while they were doing the draft and complained that he was the 24th pitcher taken in the draft? Unbelievable. Now, I'm listening to those who just know about that but didn't hear it. Now, I know one of Adam Wainwright's buddies called him and chided him on that. So that's, you know, there's no, they're talking now on MLB, Steve Phillips, who I love, and Mike Stanton, who I love as well. I mean, they do such a great job. But come on, guys, let's not take this too seriously. I mean, I don't think they're trying to, that Wainwright was trying to send a message to his teammates by making that phone call. He did say that the fantasy baseball experts in the draft should look for a new job because they took him 24th. And Wainwright came back, you know, don't forget, he came back. He was since only gave up 4 runs in his first, 25 innings last year until he got hurt. So he was well on his way. Strikeouts were down, only 18 and 25 innings. But still, I expect Wainwright to be a very serviceable pitcher. And, yeah, great. Adam Wainwright, he's got a good sense of humor. He called up. And I'll tell you, he intimidated Kyle Helfrich, all right? I would have went right back at him and said, listen, Mr. Wainwright, I took you in labor last year. I took you in Towers last year. You screwed me up, you know? I mean, you owe me, Mr. Wainwright. I chased your numbers all year, and I had you a year before. So anyway, I only wish I would have had a chance to talk to Wainwright. But it's great. I remember years ago, Erwin's Willing and I were in the locker room in Chicago White Sox locker room, all right? And we had just finished our draft, and Herb Schneider, the trader for the White Sox, was friends with Erwin, and Greg Walker, former White Sox first baseman, just resigned as the Atlanta Braves hitting coach, comes marching in, and Hermie says, hey, listen, you only went for $1 in Lenny and Erwin's league. And I saw that Greg Walker tore up the locker room. He was angry. Who went ahead of me? What, are you kidding, $1? You know, he was really annoyed. So, yeah, that's right. So Kyle did a nice job last night, and that's the story. Okay, just a couple of things to tie it up before we get into the draft. A lot of talk now in St. Louis. J.P. Morisi says, wouldn't be surprised Ian Desmond could find a home in St. Louis at shortstop with Peralta, who doesn't have a lot of range at shortstop. I know Desmond makes a lot of errors, but he gets to a lot of balls. Got a great arm. Peralta could move over and play some first base. That would be something. C.J. Wilson, they're really trying. You know, the Angels desperately don't want to go over that luxury tax, and they really need players. They have a surplus in their rotation. C.J. Wilson being dangled around pretty heavy. And, of course, Jonathan Lucroy, the other guy, he's only making $4 million and 5.25 next year. He is definitely a candidate to go in Milwaukee. And, by the way, area code 718, I think I know who you are, but just in case I'm wrong, can't take any phone calls, you're welcome to hang on and listen. But if it's Eric, I love you, man. Thank you. Okay, anyway, so that's the story. And the Astros, by the way, I think could be a very big player for Cespedes, in spite of the fact the Astros are the fourth biggest TV market in baseball. So, come on, they got the money. They can do the job. They can do it. So, but Cespedes, I'll tell you, I've heard rumors. I'm not even going to go over it, okay? I know he smokes at the dugout. I know he's a looker, whatever you want to say. But the point is that, I don't know, this guy must be pretty, right? I mean, for Detroit to take Upton, knowing exactly what Cespedes is, and give up a draft pick where they could have had Cespedes for less money and without the draft pick, that tells you everything you want to know about Yonis Cespedes. All right, let's get to the draft, okay? And of course, I was on last night, on this morning, on the morning show talking about it. Right off the bat, I agree with Dr. Roto taking Paul Goldschmidt first. My concerns are mainly about Mike Trout's the potential of Trout batting first in his RBIs. I mean, he's only hit 100 RBIs once in his career. The potential of Mike Trout to get less RBIs than we need, the potential for Mike Trout to get less stolen bases than we need. I'm pretty sure Goldschmidt will meet everything. Goldschmidt's the only one. Bryce Harper won't steal bases either with Dusty Baker at the helm. Remember when I interviewed Brandon Phillips and Brandon said Dusty didn't give anybody the green light? Well, you know, Harper only stole a handful of bases last year as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bryce Harper turns out. So I think Goldschmidt is the number one pick. And by the way, just want to let you know, our boy Cha-Cha in the hospital. Yeah, that's right, undergoing a little procedure. So no big deal. We'll expect Cha-Cha back. But on behalf of everybody, I'm sure Cha-Cha, I know he's listening. All right, you know, some people put in a pacemaker in their heart and other things. Cha-Cha's putting in a, so we can get a better reception on Blog Talk Radio. All right, so he's got some device. If it works, we'll all go into the hospital. We'll all get it put in, or maybe we'll do something else. All right, we'll see. All right, so anyway, round one, it was pretty simple. To say that, yep, on my iPhone, he's listening. I knew it. The son of a gun would be listening, okay? He's listening on his iPhone. Anyway, how's the reception? I know it's a thing. He's got this thing. He's going to go through his brain, his ear. He's going to go, but he's going to get better reception, and he'll make sure he gets into the chat room. Anyway, so we love you, man. Absolutely. Okay, on to the next thing. It was Dr. By the way, I think Dr. Roto, if you heard the interview yesterday, Dr. Roto comes in, I'm the best, I'm the greatest of all time, I'm this, I'm all that. Meanwhile, he sounded like Ronda Rousey before the fight that she had last time, and we all know what happened to Ronda. Same thing happened to Dr. Roto, who I think, look, it's not that simple, but I don't think he came out with a very good team at all. Anyway, Goldschmidt, good. I'm okay. Nolan Arenado, taken by Ray Murphy, I think that was a huge mistake. I mean, Nolan Arenado, look, they're all good. All these guys are good. But how do you take Nolan Arenado fourth and pass up, if you're looking for a third baseman? Yeah, that's what it is. The third base is kind of, it's not, there's a lot of great third basemen, and then it tails off. But how do you not take Manny Machado over Nolan Arenado? I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, you got four third basemen went in the first round. You had Arenado, you had Donaldson, you had Bryant, and you had Machado. Machado went fourth of these third basemen. I thought Machado would be fourth in the draft. Forget about the third base. I thought he'd be fourth in the draft. And I know David agrees, or somebody agrees with me, about Chris Bryant with the long looping swing. Yep, you know, the sophomore jinx. I know we talked about it a lot. The player goes back and says, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Has a good year, comes back, looking to do the same. Meanwhile, the pitching coaches and the pitchers are changing everything around. So Bryant is the one in jeopardy of having that crazy sophomore slump. I like everything else. Andrew McCutchen, although, yeah, you really have to take Andrew McCutchen if he drops to you in the 11th spot. I don't know, people are off Andrew McCutchen a little bit because the stolen bases are down, his home runs are not that great. The key error of the draft, in my opinion, I mean, of all the stuff, you can say what you want. I think the Machado giving up those stolen bases, I'll say Machado was the biggest error. Arenado over Machado, they say you don't win or lose in the first round. I got to tell you something. If he falls short in stolen bases, he can blame himself. I'm talking about the great Ray Murphy. He's such a nice guy. But how do you not take Machado over Nolan Arenado? I mean, it's just crazy. And Arenado's splits aren't that bad away from course. It's just that the stolen bases, yeah, easy. Buck, it's amazing. Buck, it's amazing. You know, Chandler said the same thing. I brought it up last night. He said he agreed. You agree. We all agree that Chris Bryant. I mean, pay attention, guys. Ron Chandler did agree. Leisure says he would take everything is jumping here. I think David says he would take Arenado. He would take Arenado over Machado. Whoa, unbelievable. Why would you do that? Stolen bases. Machado steal you 20 bases, hit you 30 home runs, and he's only 23 years old. He's getting better. Anyway, the point is that I think that's the biggest mistake in the draft. And then you get D. Gordon. D. Gordon, yeah, on-base percentage is one thing, but on-base percentage is not in this league. The point is that D. Gordon is the first pick in the second round. Now, give me a freaking break. Now, here's what I say about D. Gordon. You've probably heard me say this before, but I'm telling you, there's got to be some truth to this. with Chris Davis shying away from $150 million and Upton Sesmith is waiting till the end, and he'll get everybody's getting their money. But Dee Gordon, who had that monster year last year, the magical years don't appear back to back. They may never have that kind of year again in his career. But still, to extend his contract, nobody pointed a gun to his head. His contract extended 5 years for $50 million. That's $10 million a year. That is freaking chump change. And that tells me that Dee Gordon doesn't have confidence in himself. If he did, then you know what? I mean, if he did, it would, you know, how do you sign a 5-year deal for $50 million where you could probably make that in 3 years? It doesn't make any sense unless Dee Gordon just loves Miami. Just put a no trade clause in. That's all. You could have still got the money. I mean, unbelievable. They would have. If you're that good, then that's what you go for. It's just incredible, and they can still trade him. So I don't think he's got a no trade clause. So you got the Dee Gordon thing, you got the Chris Bryant thing. That's just kind of crazy, but it just keeps rolling along. It's interesting that in round two, Kyle Schwarber goes in the second. I don't think there's anybody in the chat room who would not agree with me that Kyle Schwarber, first pick in the last pick in the second round. You got to be out of your freaking mind. I know he's catcher eligible. But he's going to be taken out of games at the end of the games. He may lose a bat or two a game. All right? He's certainly, you know, going to be taken out of close games in the seventh inning, liable to lose one at bat. Then, of course, you got the defensive liability, and there are others, Chris Coughlin to name one. There's other players who can play the position. I don't know. And that big swing, again, you don't think they're going to make adjustments on this guy? And we haven't seen his ability to make the adjustments back. So I think that Kyle Schwarber, you can't. Please, people, don't buy it. This is just another classic case of the hype because he did so well, hit the ball so long, did everything right. Don't do it. Just absolutely don't do it. I don't say don't take him. But, you know, let's not overpay for Kyle Schwarber. I found an interesting thing, Robinson Cano in the third round. That's nice. That's really nice. You know, Cano, he can bounce back. Don't forget, he had he had all the ailments last year. He had the parasites. He had the sports hernia. What else did he have? Yeah, I mean, what else do you need? Parasites, sports hernia. Yeah, the whole thing. I'm looking for him to bounce back in a nice way. I think he can do it, and I think he will. So he is. I think he's what he is. He used to be a first, close to a first rounder. I don't think he's in that category. But I do think that we're going to see a much different Robinson Cano this year. So I'm kind of liking Robinson Cano without a problem. Okay, as we continue on. Let's see, who's the other? Oh, here's the other one. Joey Votto in the third round. Are you kidding me? How do you take Joey Votto in the third round? Now, last year, Joey Votto, don't. Last year, Joe, I got hecklers now. I got hecklers up in the studio audience. How do you take Joey Votto in the third round? The guy last year, he didn't even drive it, 80 runs? And that was with a pretty – if they trade Brandon Phillips, which I think they're going to do, I mean, they got – what's his name? They got the Peraza ready to play. So if they trade Brandon Phillips and if they trade Jay Bruce – and by the way, it could be that easy to trade Jay Bruce. With all these Colorado guys and Cespedes still hanging around, if Jay Bruce gets traded, it might be when everybody's down in Florida. But if they do trade Jay Bruce or give him away, and they do trade Brandon Phillips or give him away, I mean, Joey Votto, are you kidding me? You know, he had, 74 RBIs last year? I know he had the 25 home runs. He walked 143 walks in less than 700 at-bats. He could walk 500 times this year. How do you take a guy who's just 74 RBIs and he had players around him? I agree that they had bad years, but give me a freaking break. Joey Votto. And at second base, we talked about the sports hernia. I'm kind of liking Ian Kinsler a little bit more this year because I think the lineup around him is going to be absolutely fantastic. You know what else? Remember last year how Anthony Rendon was the guy that was supposed to be Mr. Everything? He was going to win the batting title. He was going to do all the stuff. Remember? Anthony Rendon was going to, well, you know what? He had the knee. He had the oblique. He doesn't have that anymore. If you're looking for another guy who's going to become what you thought he was going to be last year, that's got to be Anthony Rendon. So I think Anthony Rendon could be a very, very nice player this year. And so, you know, he's not going to steal bases. Although he did have some stolen bases in the prior year, I don't think he's going to do that. But I do think that Anthony Rendon could be a very interesting player. At shortstop, of course, in the offseason, you had Starlin Castro changing positions. Changing leagues. He may have to make a little bit of an adjustment there, but I do think that Starlin Castro is going to be the man. I think he's going to have a tremendous season out there. I think the biggest question mark of the entire draft is taking Charlie Blackmon in the third round. Now, I've had Charlie Blackmon for 2 years, and you got Colorado. We know the Cargo. We know the Dickerson. We know the Blackmon. We know the Para. You could even say Paulson. Everybody's lefty. They're all lefty. And clearly there's going to be a deal here of some sorts. But we don't know who it is. We don't know who it is. And whoever it is, his numbers are going to – if Blackmon gets traded, his numbers have already hit 236 outside of Coors. Absolutely 236 outside of Coors. If he gets traded, boy, oh, boy, he's going to be a major, major disappointment there. So I'm looking at Charlie Blackmon to be someone. In addition to Castro switching leagues, you got Todd Frazier switching leagues. And look, there's always an adjustment period. Frazier had an awful second half. But now I think he gets rejuvenated, and I'd love to see the White Sox get Cespedes, only because you don't get Frazier and you don't follow it up and complete your team. So Frazier, but I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay over at third base, all right? And don't forget, Ian Desmond got very good respect in the draft yesterday, so I'm not concerned with him. Reyes got good respect, too. I would probably stay away from Reyes. And, of course, Alexi Ramirez changed leagues as well. So for the infield, those are the league changers. I got to tell you, Dr. Roto, he comes back at the end of the sixth round and he takes Wade Davis. He comes back and then in the seventh round, he takes Kenley Jansen. He's got Wade Davis and Kenley Jansen back-to-back. And if you take a look at his team, he's got nothing. He's got no team. But last year, this is interesting. And one of the things that you got to do is you got to know your league. That's important. And I didn't have time. My next question to Dr. Roto was, how heavy are you going to go for saves? And I asked that because last year he finished number one in saves. So there were two things that you take a look at when you look at last year's standings. You see a guy number one in saves, and you know he's going to draft a closer pretty quick. And Dr. Roto screwed up his team. There's no need to take two closers in the sixth and seventh round. Believe me, he paid for it. I project him as the only team with less than 200 home runs. I project him as the only team, well, not the only team, as one of the few teams with less than 90 stolen bases. And his pitching staff, led by DeGrom, Michael Walker could be, Odorizzi could be, but then he got Kenta Maeda. You know what? When you talk about guys who are just overwhelmed with DFS football, DFS basketball, fantasy football, you don't know who Kenta Maeda is. He's nothing. That's who he is. Nothing. I know he's got an arm injury. And as Tim McLeod will tell you, it's the same one he's had for 7 years. But give me a break. You don't take Kenta Maeda. You just don't do it. I mean, take him at the end. You don't take him with, man, where he took him, wherever he did. Very upsetting. Also, one of the big reaches in the draft, in the sixth round, my compadres, Nando DeFino, wound up taking Yasiel Puig. What do you think? I mean, a risk. Yasiel Puig could be, would it surprise you if Yasiel Puig hits 25 home runs and steals 15 bases and drives in 95 runs? Would that be a shockeroo? All right, Adam Jones, nice value. You know, the first thing that Andrea did when she looked at the draft this morning was commented on Adam Jones. She what? Adam Jones? Ah! You know, she did. That's the first thing, all right? Yeah, she even did that before she made coffee. Unbelievable. Anyway, Yasiel Puig in the sixth round, taken by Nando. But he, you know what? But he came back and wound up taking play. Here's the thing about the draft that I noticed. Nando took Yasiel Puig. I would have taken Jacoby Ellsbury. I would have taken Prince Fielder after him. That's right. I mean, I would have taken him before Yasiel Puig. I'm sorry. I would have taken Ellsbury. I would have taken Fielder ahead of Yasiel Puig. But what did Nando do? No. Nando took Yasiel Puig in the sixth round. And then you know what happened? Nando comes back and takes Ellsbury in the seventh. And Fielder, what happened to Prince Fielder? How come people are down on Prince Fielder? Can I ask you that question? How come Texas is going to be a terrific team? Prince, why are people down on Prince? Is Prince Fielder really on that kind of a decline? I don't think so. I'll tell you another sleeper. You take a look at Gregory Polanco in round 10. If this guy doesn't hit 15 to 20 home runs and steal 25 bases, I'll be very disappointed. And I think he can do it. I absolutely think he can do it. So I really believe that Polanco in this draft was a bit of a steal. By the way, the two teams that I picked, and of course I don't have the last seven rounds for some, you'd think they would do it right. I mean, give me a break. I love RT Sports, and I got to give them a lot of credit. Yesterday I was looking for the last year's standings. Couldn't find them. They had already refreshed. And I called them up, and they called me back, and they showed me how to get it. Great job by customer service. It's a great site, but come on, man. You don't screw it up by that. I don't know. It may not have been their fault. Absolutely. Something must have happened, but they didn't come up with the last couple of rounds, and I spent 45 minutes this morning going, Avisail Garcia not drafted? Jonathan Neese not drafted? Well, I didn't realize that they didn't complete the last seven rounds on the draft. I think they're doing it now. I don't know. But anyway, not completed. So a little disappointing, to say the least, okay? And by the way, Andy and I talked about this morning. Hugh Darvish, investigation going on in Japan about his brother, you know, with illegal betting. That sounds familiar. Isn't it ironic that in Texas, the Attorney General has a press conference? Fantasy, the daily fantasy sports is illegal. It's illegal. We want, and right next door is the Fantasy Sports Trade Association in Dallas. And they did the same thing in New York. If you remember when they had that rally, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association had their meeting downtown in New York. So I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a finger to the arrogance of the fantasy sports community. Well, we're not leaving. And you know what? The attorney generals hate that. So I think that's why they schedule their press conferences while they're in town. So I don't know, a little bit of a slap in the face. All right. So happy to see that Ian Desmond got picked. And as far as other guys go, Yosemite Tomas got some respect. Carlos Gomez went in the third round. Now pay attention, everybody. Carlos Gomez has been talk of trade talk. He had the intercostal injury, was in the Dominican Republic trying to get that remedied. I don't know how healthy he is, But I do know that the healthy chat room today makes me smile. A healthy cha-cha makes me smile. And cha-cha will be back with us, I would say, by Friday. So I want to thank you all for joining me this morning. Head over to the website. We got a ton of stuff, new stuff going up. And, yes, the outfield rankings will be up later in the day. Okay. Rankings, which mean nothing, will be up late. And I'll have comments. That's what you look at. Look at the comments, all right? See you again tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, everybody.